24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A new way of radio and the beginning of a new talent. MoncoRadio.com, where music and minds meet.
Completely Terrace!
Welcome everybody to Damage Radio. We're heard here live on MoncoRadio.com, where music reminds me. You already know me, I'm RC, alongside Matt, the ultimate Kiss fan porter. And our guest, man, you already know him. He's been here since day one with us in Damage Radio. He's a go-getter. He's the director of programming at Fight TV. Done successful shows and podcasts like So Says Chernoff, Mind of the Meanie. Has his own action figure of all things. And a little wrestling buddy, man. You know, he's had the debut of a brand new streaming service that we're going to talk about a lot. Our friend, award-winning host and producer, Josh Chernoff. Josh, welcome back to Damage, man.
Wow, thanks for having me. That was a lot.
I got to roll up the red carpet for you,
man.
There we go,
show's over.
All right, show's over, I'm done.
Seriously, we don't have to. We have any time left.
Seriously.
Yeah, I should specify, because it sounded like you said I'm director of programming at Fight TV. I was director of programming at Fight
TV. And
that's
what we're going to talk about.
Yes, but no longer. I am now the vice president of programming and creative development for Premier Streaming Network. Which I am super excited about. And we'll talk all about it. I mean, I'm here to answer any questions you want. I'm just here to hang out, you know?
And that's the great thing, man. You've been with us since day one, right in that studio right across from us, you know, doing shows
day
here.
One-ish,
day one-ish. Day one-ish, right?
Right?
Yeah. Usos.
Yeah.
But yeah, man, catch us up with everything that's been happening with you.
Man, a lot. lot has been happening. We've been very busy launching this new network, Premier Streaming Network, and it's exciting. It's been really exciting. We've already announced a couple of different partners, CZW having their entire library, and of course new events as well. But that library is very exciting to have. The Major Wrestling Figure Podcast, Matt Cardona, Brian Myers, and Smart Mark Sterling, them bringing they're going to have their live shows on our network. All the past live shows that they've done, their FWF actual wrestling events that they've done, and they're going to, I think this might be breaking news right now, I don't think I've said that before, but they are going to be doing a weekly show as well on our network, which is actually going to be a segment from their podcast. So you'll be able to watch that if you're not a Patreon member for them or whatever. You'll be able to watch that part of their segment, that segment of their show on our network, which is really cool.
So how's podcasting and all that, Patreon doing all that stuff, helped you set up for this role?
I think one of the things that it helped with is just another piece of the puzzle of that kind of DIY. I had to go for a second to make sure I was saying the right letters.
It's hard sometimes, man.
DIY, you know, that do-it-yourself mentality.
As long as you don't get a DUI.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I'm like,
nothing
but
trouble.
There's that DUI. So that do-it-yourself mentality when you're doing a podcast, when you're launching a podcast especially, and like what I experienced with doing the podcast with Bill Apter and doing with the Blue Meanie, it really was like you had to do everything. You know, they say that with starting a business of any kind, you're really, you know, you're the CEO is also cleaning the bathrooms, you know, when you're starting things out. So for me, it is nice doing this when it really is. I mean, I have a great team, and we do have other people that are working with us outside of our executive team, and who are phenomenal and have already done. I mean, nobody's seen it yet because you've seen some of it. Some of the CZW video announcement was created by somebody else outside of our executive team. And we're very, very fortunate to be working with some of the best. But yeah, I think the podcasting, I think what it really taught me was to be willing to hustle, be willing to work hard, and also be willing to work hard without anything to show for it for a certain amount of time.
Yeah.
Like right now, you know, I've seen our demo site. I know what our platform looks like. I personally think it is night and day, you know, just way better than anything else that is out there right now, especially in this space, but competitive, certainly competitive with anything else that's out there, even when you're talking about a Netflix or Disney Plus or anything. And some people might go, oh, okay, he's out of his mind. We'll wait until you see the platform. You'll see exactly what I'm talking about. But we're doing all this work every day working on building out this platform and making it the best it possibly can be, and nobody's seeing it. So it's that same mindset when you're doing a podcast and you don't have any listeners at first, you know, and you're trying really hard to make sure that you're doing something great and putting everything into it and just hoping that eventually people are going to see it. I feel really confident that a lot of people are going to see this. And I think once we launch, it's going to be a very quick turnaround time to have a lot of people downloading the app, a lot of people choosing to watch our content. And then the big thing I'm excited for, I really believe this is going to happen. I think we're going to start getting those posts and those tweets of people going, oh man, I wish, you know, show X was on Premiere. And I think that people are going to start that, because we've all had that, right? We all have the platforms where you're watching something on one and you're just like, oh God, I hate that this show is on this platform. I wish it was on the other platform, you know? And I think that there's going to be a lot of that.
Right. So how do we get a certain damage maybe on this scene?
Yeah. Well, talk to the vice president of programming and creative development.
We'll give him
he's
a call.
The guy. Yeah. If you can find him, he's the guy to talk to. Yeah, man, I will tell you one thing that has already been uploaded onto the site. It's on the demo site. And that is On the Ropes with Josh Chernoff, nice. A short-lived show that got shut down because of the pandemic. But there is an episode in there with a gentleman you might be familiar with because it's you.
Love it.
On the
highest
ropes,
rating one.
If you remember that, yeah.
I do.
So so that will be. So you actually, believe it or not, are in the metadata.
What?
But you will actually be able to go to the site and type your name in, and that will show up. Wow. So, yeah.
So RC or Cameron, type in.
I think right now it's RC.
All right.
But I think we're, no, you know what? I think it's both.
Isn't.
Yeah, because it's, well, we've done that. We started that when we started uploading stuff that had John Morrison.
Okay.
And because it's like, all right, well, this one guy might type in John Morrison to find his stuff, but this guy might type in Johnny Impact, and this guy might type in Johnny Showcase from the Wrestling Showcase, which is also, we just announced exclusively on that, and Johnny a million other things. So I think he actually takes the cake. He's got the most variations in the metadata, but that's something I'm really excited about too, is you're able to do that. You're able to search. If there's a wrestler that appears on our platform, or not just wrestler, you know, MMA fighter, boxer, you know, anyone who appears on our platform, if you type their name in and they appear there, it will show up. So, and everything that they're in, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
So are we talking all like wrestling, combat sports? What are we like, what's the focus going to be?
So I would say in the beginning, it is primarily going to be pro wrestling. It's the connections that I have and that Paul Owen, who's our president, that he has. Paul also originally came from UFC Fight Pass, was on the team that launched that. Then he was brought over to the WWE network to do their relaunch. And I want to say it was 2017. If he's listening, he's going to go, oh, no, wasn't it? And he's also, if he's not familiar, he's like, why do I keep hearing a car crash?
Yeah, right.
But yeah, so, you know, Paul, it also has connections in MMA and in boxing. But for me, obviously, pro wrestling is my primary connection there. So it is going to be heavily pro wrestling. Having said that, we are also intending on bringing in numerous other sports, whether they're sports that everybody's familiar with, like a baseball or football or soccer or football, depending on where you are. But also,
ping pong.
Yeah, also more fringe sports, honestly. Like if it's a sport, the way that we're looking at it is it's quality over quantity, and it's all about the content. It's all about the production value of it. So, like you say, ping pong. And my first thought would be like in jest, like, ping pong, that'd be fun. But the reality is, if there's a ping pong league out there that has quality cameras, quality lighting, and a quality production and product that they're putting out there, dude, there are people who watch ping pong, and we would love to have it on our platform. So there's that. And then there's also the original content, which I'm excited about, from documentaries to scripted series, unscripted series. We've been in discussions with some really which I can't say, but, you know, really impressive people in those fields. And I'm very excited about what's going to happen with that. So, but yeah, initially it's going to be very heavily pro wrestling. And then over time it would be more where you would log in. And if pro wrestling is what you want, you can click into the pro wrestling world. And then you could click into the boxing world or into, you know, original content and stuff. And the other cool thing is I mentioned the metadata earlier. A lot of what we're doing is everything's kind of interconnected. So like I said, if you typed in, let's say there's a wrestler who also plays ping pong, right? And we've got their, and we have both. Well, if you type their name in, you're going to see, even if you're in the ping pong section, you type their name in, you're going to see ping pong, you're going to see wrestling. And, you know, I feel like I got to find that right. Wrestler.
You have to now. Well, we need pro wrestling ping pong.
Yeah.
You make instead of the little, you know, the little net in the middle is made out of barbed wire.
Coming exclusively and then, to Premier Streaming and then Network. You got it.
Like the tag team partner can go around and try and interfere and then put you through the table while they're playing. I'm telling you.
That's completely damaged right now.
That's it. Come
I give
on.
You the rights of damage right now, man.
Nice.
You're in.
Well, that's legally binding because you said it on the air.
See, now he just gave it away. It's fine.
He gave it all.
It's
there
fine. I'm already damaged.
And they can cut promos in each other. How great would they? You know, I'm going to spike this ball when I put a spin on it, you're a jabroni. You know? That'd be great. I'd watch
that.
That
would be good. Yeah. Add a twist, you know, make it a little like kind of like an epic series, like what you did in college.
Yeah.
Kind of like one of those kind of docu-series kind of things.
Oh, man. Yeah, no, that would be, I will tell you that that show that I did back in the day will not be on the network.
Why?
Will there be the Teenage Wrestling Alliance?
So, okay, Teenage Wrestling Foundation, that one. I thought you were talking about the web series.
I was talking about that, but that's a good clip, too.
But yeah, the Teenage Wrestling Foundation, so you will be able to, this is kind of, again, like kind of a breaking news if you haven't put it out yet, you will be able to watch clips of it in Talking with Friends, because the show Talking with Friends is moving exclusively to Premiere. And then also I do believe that we are going to have in there the Beyond the Grave 20 years later thing that we shot right next door here.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, so that's gonna be on there as well, which has some footage, but we will never be releasing the full events because they're not good. And
you want to stay in business.
And it's better, yeah, to just show short, you know, 3-second clips of something while we talk about it and make it sound like it was good. So, yeah.
So why dive into the digital media world now?
I mean, it's being involved in media in general for years and entertainment. It's the future. It's also somewhat the present right now, but it is really the future. I think that eventually everything is going to be streaming. And I think that television, the way that we watch it now, is just going to end up, it's just going to be streaming. It's that's what it's going to be. It's going to be ad-based streaming services. And I think there's also, you know, like, look, we're going to have a subscription base as well. That's how you're going to be able to access the whole library of CZW, among other promotions. You know, we haven't announced yet, but we have some that date back into the early 90s and have run consistently since then. So it's, you know, we will have the subscription as well, but, I think the future is just looking at just streaming these just pretty much a television network, but streaming. So yeah, that was, you know, and look, I found my way into it as a content creator, as you guys obviously know, and starting out really here with you guys and, it getting that opportunity to work in streaming and then going, being behind the scenes with that, it opened my eyes to what this industry is and what this industry can be. And that's a big thing too. And that's a lot of that is led by Paul Owen, who, like I said, is our president and has a real understanding and vision for the streaming end of it, the technology side of things, where I might be more the programming and creative development side of it with, you know, coming up with different programming blocks and different shows and original content and whatnot. But, Paul has his finger on the pulse of what's going on, and he's digital first. He's always been in digital. And I think that's something that separates us, is that we are a digital first company where we really are looking at the overall industry of streaming and saying, okay, what's missing? What's being done but isn't being done right? What isn't being done at all? Like, you know, we're really able to sit back and look at the big picture of it, mm-hmm. And then we also thankfully have the capability to go in and try and maneuver it to be exactly what we feel it should be. And we feel that way because at the end of the day, we are, you know, we're an age and a generation that watches streaming. We are a, you know, we're people like myself being a content creator who's been on the other side of it, who's looked and said, okay, I worked really hard on my show and now it's on this platform, but now what? Right? What's this network doing for us? You know, I'm willing to do everything for them. What are they willing to do for us? And that's not to say that other networks aren't willing to do, you know, to do something, but I think none of them are doing and necessarily have the capability to do the things that we are doing for our partners. And I think that all trickles down to affect, positively affect the viewing experience from the audience.
Right. Now we went from present to past later, we'll talk about, but with the fight thing, you were traveling like 4 days in the hotel and all that.
Yeah.
How's that different than what you're doing now? Is it more laid back? I know it's never laid back, but like, yeah. Are you home more with your family? And
so
walked in on the cell phone in the middle of an important meeting. There's no laid back.
There's
right
no
now.
Laid back. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
Not right now. No.
Little inside baseball. I literally walked into the room still in a meeting. But no, I mean, it's so I was just in Wisconsin 2 weekends ago. We were filming the Blizzard Brawl event that they had there, which was like 2,000 plus people in the building. There was an amazing show, has never aired anywhere. And they've been doing it for almost 20 years. And so we will have their entire library available on our network. But also we will be launching when we launch, which I can't say the date yet, just in case something, you know, something bad happens, but we're pretty sure we know when. And Blizzard Brawl is going to be the first show that is launching, and it's going to be free. People will be able to watch it. We want to introduce our platform to people. We're not going to charge you to come watch that. We want you to
no $9.99.
No. It's listen. We will have our subscription base. It's not going to be $9.99, but we will have our subscription base. And that's where something like a Blizzard Brawl is going to live after the fact, and that's where a lot of our pay per views are going to live after the fact. You know, pay-per-views may have 30 days of life, and then it's like, who's really buying them anymore? But you have a bunch of people who go like, I mean, it's, you know, it's a month, 2 months, 3 months old. I'd like to watch it, but I'm not going to spend the money to watch it. We've moved on from it. But if they can spend a small amount for their subscription, that's where they'll continue to watch it. So once we see those numbers dropping off, and it's not a one-size-fits-all, so we'll really look at the specific numbers of the specific show. And at that point, we'll have an idea of whether or not to move it to subscription. But yeah, but so I was, to answer your question, I was there in Wisconsin. Incredible. Great Lakes Championship Wrestling is the promotion. David Hero is the promoter there. You couldn't find a better promoter in this world to work with. And just an all around great guy. But, and he, I don't even think he's listening. So that's how you know it's true. He put on an incredible show there. Great talent there. We got a lot of buzz off of Dustin Rhodes coming out and announcing that this will be his last year coming up in ring, and so that got us a lot of play on social media. But which I really appreciate Dustin deciding last minute to do that. I think he literally decided to say that in the ring. We didn't know he was going to do that. So it was. It was a great experience. So as far as traveling, I know I'm going to be traveling I'm traveling in January. I'm traveling in March and I'm traveling in April that I know of right now. So I would say I'm still probably going to be once a month, you know, getting on a plane. There's some local stuff I'll be doing that I don't really consider traveling. It's just a, you know, it's a little road trip, you know, but yeah, it's probably not going to be less than it was when I worked at the other place. It's probably going to end up being more in some regards.
Especially
you know?
In the beginning.
Yeah. Well, you know, when you're working with new people and new promotions, you know, you want to show them that you care, you know, because we genuinely do. So there are some where we feel like we have to be there to make sure things are going the right way. And then there are some also where deals are just being made. Like I did commentary for Blizzard Brawl. I'm going to be for the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast. They're doing a show in January and I'm going to be emceeing that show. And, you know, and that'll be on our network. So, you know, I'm still, Gonna be going all over the place. I spend a lot of time in my basement in my home office with no windows, having no idea what time of day it is, just call after call after call. But I love it. I absolutely love what I'm doing now. And, you know, I where I worked previously, I had some incredible experiences, had incredible opportunities. Don't regret it for 1 minute. I'm greatly appreciative of the opportunities that I was given. But there's something about when you're working really, really, really hard and you know that this is yours that you're working for, as opposed to sometimes you feel like you're working really, really, really hard and you go, okay, well, at the end of the day, that's great for the company. It's great for everybody else, but is that actually moving my career forward? And that was a thing for me. And when I made my announcement that I was leaving there, for me, that was important. It wasn't a matter of like, you know, oh, I don't like this person or that person or anything. It was just, I felt at that point in time that I needed a change of pace. I needed to go off and do something else. I had gotten to accomplish things that I never in a million years thought I would, which I know you want to talk about some of that stuff, like Ric Flair's last match, and the work that I did with that. I'm very proud of. But another thing at the end of that was a kind of a wake up call of like, okay, but now what? Like, where do I go from here? And that was when I said, okay, I need to take the next step. And I left, and, you know, look, leaving without really knowing what's next is sometimes, you know, a little scary. I had ideas, and then everything moved super, super fast, like incredibly fast, after I left. And now here we are, and I couldn't be happier with where I am.
Right. But from a business standpoint, how does it work now? You contact like a promotion, and you say, hey, we'd like to have some of your library for our premium service, and then you kind of both get the kind of money from it, or how's that?
So it's interesting. I have absolutely reached out to some places before, but I would say it's definitely probably closer to like an 80-20 to people reaching out to us. That press release did exactly what we were hoping it was going to do, which was to let people know what our mindset is, what we're trying to do, and say, hey, we're open for business. We'd love to have a conversation with you. And always take the call. That's one thing I've learned over the years. Always take the call, because even if you look and you go, nah, I don't think that's really going to work for our network, take the call, because that conversation might lead to another idea where now you're working with this person on something having nothing to do at all with what you were originally talking about. So I think that, you know, yeah, it's definitely been primarily people coming to us. But there are some that we've gone to and said, hey, you know, look, this is what we're doing. And you know, it was before I was a part of Premier, some of the things were starting to take shape, and when I came on, it was obviously very important to me. I'm not going to work for two companies at the same time, you know. Yeah. But when I came on, there were already some conversations that had been that had been happening. This is real preliminary, real like, hey, is this something you'd be interested in? And then, you know, I'm told, hey, these are some people we've been talking to, and it turns out that a good amount of them I know. So that made my job kind of easy, yeah. Right? So, yeah, it's been a lot of that. But yeah, as far as how it works, it's you know, like I said before, it's not one size fits all. So every deal is different. There's a lot that goes into it. But yeah, I mean, there's absolutely some deals that are just going to be we're going to split this in a certain way or whatever. But yeah, every deal is. Well, while some deals are the same as others, but we don't just say, this is it, take it, you know, right. Take it or leave it. Right. Everything's a conversation. We want to get to know the people. We want to know what their vision is for their product. We want to make sure, because one thing I never want to do is lie to somebody and say, oh, come on to our network. Don't worry. So many people are going to watch your stuff. It's going to be great. You're going to make tons of money. Yeah. If I look at something and I go, you know, I don't know. Doesn't mean it can't be done. But if I don't know how to create, how to make their product better, how to market their product better than they're already doing wherever they are now, I want to be honest about that. I don't want to say, yeah, come on here.
Not waste people's time.
Yeah, I don't want to waste their time. I don't want to waste, you know, our bandwidth literally and figuratively, you know, but I don't want to waste, because it does cost money to put things on your platform. And you know, and it takes our time. And so And it's never, the gauge is never a, oh, these people only had 50 people in their building when they were filming it. That is absolutely not going to disqualify somebody from being on, you know, a wrestling company, let's say, being on there. What could disqualify them would be if we watch their product and we go, the lighting's terrible, the camera work is terrible. Even if the in-ring work is great, you know, sometimes we have to look at it and go like, guys, look, come back to us when you've put a little money into this and a little into that. And we don't mean that to be, you know, conceited or anything. It's just, it's, we do have a level of acceptance for our, you know, look, we have a level that of quality that we expect, because we want to build a level of quality across the board for our fan base to expect. Because the last thing I'd want to do is let one group in, and then that happens to be the first thing somebody sees. So then they look over at somebody else and go, oh, they're probably terrible.
Right.
You know, because this thing looks like crap. I bet everything on this platform's crap. So it's important to us, you know, and people are forgiving with old stuff, right? Like they're forgiving if it's like the, you know, CZW from 1999. Like, listen, it's not HD. It's right. not the quality of what CZW is turning out in 2022 as far as production and lighting and cameras. But people are forgiving of that. You can't have promotions that look like it's 1999 today doing their stuff.
Right.
It's just, there are places for that. There absolutely are. And I'd also be happy to direct them to those places because I really want to see everybody succeed. I believe every bit of success I've had in my life is because there were other people there who wanted to see me succeed and gave me opportunities. And then I like to think that I took those opportunities and I ran with it and I made my own, you know, success off of that. But I had so many doors open for me. So I'm always happy to, if something doesn't work for us, to give them a suggestion as well of like, hey, maybe go over there. Once, you know, you get a little more success and you're able to financially be in a better position to get better lighting, get better cameras and stuff, come back, you know, come back to us in 6 months, in a year. And, you know, it's something personal. So, you know, hopefully people will see that and respect that.
Right. And you're just a regular guy like everyone else. Like you've been there, done that, and you know what it takes to have a company go from one listener to, you know, platform.
I'm just a regular, incredibly handsome and successful guy.
Stunning guy. Stunning.
No, but it's
yoga for
true.
Regular radio for regular guys.
Yeah, it's theirs. That's the new show.
Love it.
It's true though. Like that's something that's very important to us too, is that, you know, we're not your traditional executive team. We're, you know, a bunch of young guys, not as young as we'd like to pretend we are, but we're, you know, a bunch of young guys.
We had to stretch first.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's definitely, I get exhausted just sitting. But you know, I came up in the real estate business when I first started working with my grandfather. My brother and I worked with my grandfather, and one thing that he had on the tagline of his company was quality and integrity since 1972, which we obviously weren't there for that. But, you know, but quality and integrity. And I think that that's, you know, I believe in that. I think, look, in the entertainment business, in the wrestling business, there's a lot of carny people out there. There's a lot of people that you can't trust. And I feel very strongly, as does my brother, as does Paul, that even if people in the beginning are suspicious and go, oh, we've been sold a bill of goods before, we know how this business works, we think over time, everyone's going to realize that we're not full of it, that we're genuine with everything we're saying. We're not going to lie to you. We're going to be upfront about everything. And I think that that integrity that we bring to the table is something that people are going to grow to respect, and people are going to want to work with us.
Yeah.
That's it. But like you said, being a regular guy, yeah, that's kind of the thing. We don't talk to them like we're, you know, here in our you know, stuffy suits and our bit, you know, and our big ivory tower. We're just, you know, we're just having a conversation with them because we also understand how hard these promoters are working, how hard these content creators are working, and their content is the most important thing in the world to them, as it should be.
Yeah.
So whenever we interact with their content, we are going to be treating it as though it is the most important thing in the world to us at that moment as well, because I think that everybody deserves it. I always wanted that with my content. So that's what we're trying to do with everybody else.
And companies see that you guys trust each other. Like your brother, who's it'd be great, he's right next to you. He might not believe in press releases, but you do because you've seen it. Like, so you know the importance of getting stuff out there, promoting it, and plugging it. Where him, maybe back, you know.
I mean, he happens to believe in press releases as well. Yeah, but
I'll give you an example. You know.
Yeah. He's also the, you know, he's not the one, you know, there's, we have a great PR guy, Derek, who's been putting our stuff out. But you know, my brother, who's an author as well, you know, I'll look at these and proofread these and go, I don't know. Like, I think that feels like a right place for a comma, you know? And so it is nice to have my brother. So it's just kind of funny. They use that as an example, but no, but you're 100% right.
Right.
Like exactly. It's, we trust each other. We all come at this, you know, my brother is the business side of it. You know, he handles the finance, he handles the operations of the company. Paul is, you know, as president, is overseeing the verticals of our company, of the technology, of making sure all that's on par. And I'm making sure that we're creating, the most engaging programming possible. And that it's being presented in the best way. And that's oversimplifying it because everybody also has their hands in a lot of other things as well. And like I said, we have a bunch of other people, doing great stuff as far as graphics and things of that nature. So, but yeah, well, we all have our strengths. And we all trust each other with those strengths. So it's very positive. It's a very positive environment to work in.
Right.
I was going to ask a question. This is maybe geeky and maybe too far below the radar, but where does everything live? Like, do you have to buy a warehouse where there's servers, or is it on a super secret satellite out in space? You know, I mean, I don't know. It's
a shoebox under my desk.
But when you think about all these, like Netflix and every streaming, like I think that's almost like a mystery. Where does all that stuff live? Like when you upload to YouTube, where does it go? It's into the ether.
It's in the cloud.
Right. It's in the cloud.
It's in the cloud. We have servers and stuff like that. We have partners that we're working with to house this stuff. We can't put this on like our Google Drive.
Right.
And, you know, so it's
16
like
gigs.
When you go
into
most movie theaters now, they actually, you can see it. Like you see the room where there's all these huge storage banks.
Yeah. So
and
I mean,
they look so high tech and they actually make it like almost part of the theaters. Look at our with like little green light on.
Yeah.
It, you
know? So, I mean, we have, you know, we're partnered with people who have that, you know, in the same way that you would get a storage facility,
right?
You know, for your stuff. So there are people who have that stuff. And there are tons of companies. Some have them in house, some have it out. But it's it's definitely not like I don't have a Dropbox folder with all of this content on there. I will tell you what's kind of funny is as we've been uploading some stuff and the things that we're doing on our own, we will CZW is a perfect example. They have an enormous library. So in order to get that onto our site, you know, we have to download it off of the server that they send to us, and then we need to upload it. But we're downloading it, and I feel like every couple of days, I have to go through and just go through and delete everything because my computer's popping up going, you don't have enough memory to, you know, it's like apparently 4 terabytes isn't enough to, But that's an interesting question.
And that might have been super geeky and off the track.
No, it's a great question. We have a great great server there.
So the other question is, look, anybody that's ever listened to Completely Damaged where you're on or watch your show, it's no secret that you're more talented in front of the camera, in front of the mic. And as that transitions maybe to a side, and you're more involved in the business.
Yeah.
How's it been to juggle that? Because you're great in front of the camera and a content creator. Now you're now you're a business guy.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. It's funny being in business for years, as I mentioned before, working in real estate and stuff like in commercial investments and all, like it's I've never been as well versed in business as say like my brother has been, but he and I were partners in that business for 20 plus years. Mm. So I have a lot of business experience. But the nice thing is what I'm doing now, I don't really consider it like business exactly.
Right.
It's there's part of why it's, you know, the VP of programming and creative development is I love that creative development side because that to me has always been my strength. And I've created content just because it's like, all right, well, I guess I have to. I don't know who else is going right. to do it, but I have an idea, so I'll put it out there. So, and I love being able to now work with other people and help them to do that. But yeah, it's for me, it's I actually prefer the behind the camera, the behind the scenes more. I don't feel as much pressure with it because it's just, I don't know. I guess it's just, it's a strong suit for me. I don't have to have that. I don't have to be on all the time right. in that same way. Having said that though, I've had a lot of fun being able to do a lot more commentary lately for WrestlePro and commentary for Blizzard Brawl that I did. And I'll be doing some more for other places as well. I love doing that, especially cause I get to be the heel commentator. So I get to just completely have fun doing that. As far as my other shows and stuff, we are going to have a new show that I can't announce yet, but it is going to be one that's going to be more of that sit-down interview style where I'm going to be doing long-form interviews with people. So I'm really excited about doing that. And so, yeah, I feel like I get a little bit of everything. I get to be creative behind the camera, and then I get to also do these interviews and really have these conversations with these fascinating people. And then I also get to just, you know, play around and be a color commentator
right.
and just have a lot of fun doing that. So I'm very happy with it. And, but I don't regret, you know, like we're going to have a weekly wrestling show. I don't believe I'm going to be hosting it. I don't want to host it. If I am hosting it, it's because we weren't able to make a deal with somebody else to host it. I don't want to, I'm too busy doing the other stuff. And I do think that they're, you know, there's some incredibly talented people out there who I have a job, I have a career now. If I can give that opportunity to somebody else, look, you know, I'm one of the heads of this network. If I really feel like I need to have a show, I can give myself a show, you
right,
know, like
right.
it'll be fine. So, but I'd much rather focus on, you know, the other personalities that we can build, and give opportunities to other people.
So it sounds like you found a good balance for yourself. That's
yeah.
nice.
Yeah, I get to have an good. Action figure, and then right. I also, you know, I also get to sit in meetings, you know, so it's very
exciting. And you got a wrestling buddy to cuddle with.
Yeah. I got the wrestling buddy, which, yeah, my kids beat up every once in a while. They beat up the Blue Meanie so bad, his stuffing fell out. So, yeah.
Wow.
I tried to tell him, like, you know, guys, like, these are, like, decorative. They're not, like, actually, so you're not really supposed to, like, wrestle with them. But, I don't know.
Now, but, the premium service streaming network, your tie collection. When are we going to have some ties like that, too?
So I already have them. I debuted my first premier streaming network tie at Blizzard Brawl.
Nice.
And then I have some that are just with the premier logo on there. So I do have a couple of those.
Awesome.
I saw one thing online. Somebody asked, he's like, is the tie gimmick going away? I'm like, no, the ties get, like, you think that was owned by the by the previous employer? No, so that's going to continue to happen, and it's exciting. I was actually able to, I sold off a ton of my ties that I'm just not going to use anymore, that had different logos on there I'm not going to use. Yeah. And I put them up just kind of like, hey, anybody want to buy them? And they're all gone. So, which is crazy.
Wow.
And I still have like 700 of them. So, you know, that was, I'm like, okay, I need to at least sell these to try and make some money to buy new ties. Like that's my, you know, yeah.
So we're talking a lot of this stuff kind of now about the future. Is there a place, a website or someplace people should be going right now, like today to get more information or to become like the first in line to have this signed up?
Yeah, so they can go to premierstreamingnetwork.com.
Now you gotta say it doesn't have an E on the end.
So
right?
I'm glad you bring that up.
You've been doing this a long time, man.
Spell premier however you want, and it'll get you there.
Oh, there you go.
I'd love to take credit for that, but it wasn't.
Creative contact director.
Yeah,
right there.
But I can't take credit for that. I don't think that was either Fred or Paul's idea, but maybe it was my idea. You know what? I'm gonna take credit for
that. Do it, Josh. Hashtag.
But no, but the we looked at that and we said, we're like, well, how do we explain to people? Oh, we spell right. it without an E.
Right.
So yeah, if you go, we own the domain for both of those. So yeah, so you'll get where you're going. We'll make sure that you get there. So yeah, premierstreamingnetwork.com. You can also go to Premier at Premier SN on Twitter while Twitter still exists. And you can go So
shots fired.
Right?
Facebook is, I actually need to check Facebook. You know that you have to have like a certain number of followers before you can get the URL for that.
Right.
So I think we may, we're either just about at it or we may have crossed over it, and I'll have to check on that.
Right?
And if we're really close to it, then I'll start putting out some messages like, hey guys, come on.
Hey, you're my friend, right?
Yeah. But, but you can find us. I mean, you can just type in Premier Streaming Network on Facebook and you'll find it. And then Instagram is that it? Yeah, there you go. Instagram is Premier, at Premier Streaming Network. Yeah.
Boom. You know, I am the 97th follower.
I'll be the 98th.
So right there, like live on the air.
Live on the air.
Yeah.
It's that easy.
I would love, by the time I get home, I would love back to my little cave in the basement.
With no windows.
Yeah. I would love to see if maybe we've broken 100. Because I think it's 100. I think it's 100.
Right there, it says 96 followers. So it's,
boom.
You know, and I'm going to share this out right now.
Oh, thank you.
And that's appreciate the great thing about that. Like, you know, you're going from Fight TV, which, you know, has its followers, has its sure. everything there, to something that you're chasing your dream, you know, and you have to, in the back of your head, think of the pros and cons of mm-hmm. jumping, chasing your dreams compared to what you already have, a good setting right here.
Yeah.
Good foundations. Talk about that.
Yeah. I mean, I left some people might say you're crazy. Why would you leave, you know, the job that you had? And, but I don't know how to really say it without sounding, you know, conceited, but the thing is I believe in myself. I think everyone should believe in themselves. And it took me many years to be able to fully believe in myself. And you know, I still struggle every once in a while, can I really do this? But with this one, I have all the confidence in the world because, you know, I looked at it and I looked at where I was before and I said, you know what, like you said, the pros and cons, right? You can look at it and say, okay, what is my best case scenario? What is my ceiling here? Right? Like how high can I go? And then you can even look at it and say, okay, imagine you made it to the absolute height that anyone could working for this other company or whatever it is. Is that where you want to be? And for me, the answer was no. And that's not a knock on anybody. That's not an issue with anyone. I loved working for, you know, my boss there. It was a great experience. But for me, it wasn't the career that I wanted when I got into this business. And then when I got back into this business doing the show with Bill Apter, you know, I it wasn't what my end game was. And while that's changed over time, you know, it certainly was not running the programming of a streaming network.
Right.
I just happened to have, you know, kind of fallen in love with this side of the business, but it wasn't what I was working towards and putting all that time in and time away from my family and everything. The end result was never going to be what I wanted it to be. Just by circumstance, just for what it was. And that for me was when I was like, okay, well then why are you here? Mm-hmm. Don't waste a minute of your time, you know, away from your children, for something that, you know, oh, I'm working for something I don't really even want.
Right.
So it's like, okay, well find out exactly what it is you want. And for me, a lot of it was, I wanted to be able to implement my ideas. And maybe it's just because I don't work well with others. I don't know. Maybe I needed to be my own boss, right? Yeah. Like it's. But the thing is, I'm confident in my ideas and my vision for things, and I wanted that opportunity to say, like, okay, I really think that this is where we should go. This is the direction we should go. And, you know, look to my boss and go, oh wait, that's a mirror I'm looking at. You know, that's me. I can make the decision here. And then of course I have an executive team that I work with, and you know, we all make decisions together, but it's where I'm headed now is the direction that I wanted to head. It's also, you know, things aren't always going to be, you know, rainbows and butterflies. There are going to be positives. There are going to be negatives. And for me, I've always looked at it and said, if there's going to be a negative that I'm the face of something and someone has a negative reaction to it, I want it to A, be because I actually did something wrong, not because it has nothing to do with me. I'm just the face of it. And B, I want to have control to be able to fix it. I don't want to be the face that gets yelled at but I actually can't do anything. It's like the, you know, the kid behind the counter somewhere that somebody's yelling at. And they're like, dude, I'm not even the manager, let alone the, you know, it's like, how come you guys don't carry this in the store anymore?
This
it's like,
taco goes out of my paycheck.
Yeah. Yeah, but it, seriously, no. But that's the thing. Like, it's a frustrating place to be. And when you're there in your career, that can get really frustrating. And I didn't want to get to that point. I didn't, you know, so.
Yeah, well, it's the real estate mentality. Like, you go get it. You get what you put into it.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's not even just the real estate mentality. Yeah. It's just
just inspiring advice, no matter what you're trying to be. You know, if you whatever you want to be the best at it. And like you said, if you're going to spend your time away from your kids or your life, you might as well be doing what you want.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. Now,
let's talk about Ric Flair's last match, man.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll make sure we had enough time. Definitely. For that, I'm very long winded for anyone who's ever listened to me. Fire away. Ask your questions.
Just, you know, Matt, I'll let you do it.
Well, I think really the last time I think we talked to you is you were getting ready. You were editing the intro video, which I found to be just fascinating, because to think that you would have the opportunity of something that you edited would play as Ric Flair is going to the ring. Now, I got to admit, I was pretty jealous of that.
Yeah.
So surrounding that, I mean, I guess, and obviously, you know, you were behind the scenes. You were behind the curtain. There's that reality and there's the fantasy of being a fan of Ric Flair, but just kind of give us that. What were the moments like? And he was saying at the time it was the last match. There's a certain emotion, you know, as much as we don't maybe believe that ever, you know, I don't believe until the day that they're slamming the coffin door shut. Yeah. He's got another match.
Yeah. Right. And even then Flair might still
kick out. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. You know, Ric Flair drip.
I think it's going to be his last match, but you know, it was a very, very busy weekend. Obviously, I was working very hard on StarCast as well. Part of an incredible team there. I don't ever want it to seem like I was, you know, I was running the whole show there.
It was all me.
But
hey, kids,
it was,
let's put on a show.
It was just, it was a great experience. Getting to, you know, some really fun kind of pinch me moments when I'm sitting in the production meeting being, which is being led by Road Dogg. And you know, and I'm over there answering questions or giving my opinions and stuff. It's, you know, and I'm sitting across from people like Scott D'Amore and Josh Matthews and you've got Jeff Jarrett, of course, in there and stuff. And it's getting to work with all of them was awesome. There were so many moments. One that stands out to me is Jeff Jarrett calling me over to discuss with the lighting crew what my opinion would be and what I think because I created Jeff's entrance video for that show. He wanted my opinion on what I felt the entire vision of his entrance should look like. And I'm just like, what? Don't ask me. This is, you know, I don't want this pressure.
Yeah.
Thankfully he had his ideas. It was kind of, it ended up more of like, I think it should all be red. Right, Josh? Do you think so? It's absolutely Jeff. Yeah.
Do you agree with what I'm thinking?
Yeah.
Your job's on the line.
But that was some great stuff. One of my favorite times was when they go over to me like, hey, could you do me a quick favor? Cause I'm running around the whole night. I'm running around chicken with my head cut off. What's his name? Rolled up newspaper. From the Road Warriors.
Paul Ellering.
Yeah, Paul Ellering.
That's the funny thing is, you were saying like a chicken with your head cut off. For some reason, all I could picture was Foghorn Leghorn. Oh, where should I go?
It was pretty much like that. Yeah. So I'm just running back and forth, and they're like, "Hey, we need to bring. We got a VIP coming in through the back. Can you kind of escort him over to Rick's dressing room?" Just in. I'm like, "Yeah, okay, it's fine." So I go over there and they're like, yeah, he'll be here in a minute. And I didn't even ask because there's so many other people. You know, I'm about to be doing I know Jerry Lawler's on his way over because I did the backstage segment with him, and which was awesome. And, you know, I'm like, oh, maybe it's Jerry, maybe it's whatever. So it's The Undertaker, right? And all I could think of when you think to yourself, man, Josh is probably the whole time going, oh, pinch my shoulder. I can't believe it. I'm here with The Undertaker. But all I actually was thinking to myself as I'm walking The Undertaker past is going, this man's like almost 7 feet tall. I'm 5'8" when I have good posture. How the hell am I the one? I'm between a guy who's like 6'10" and a bunch of people who are like 6'2".
They can't even see
and
me.
And I'm the in-between? to make sure that he's not getting stopped by anybody or in, like, I'm just looking at him going, well, I hope he just wants to keep, like, I can show him where Rick's dressing room is, but I am certainly not going to be able to get in between anybody, you know, and him. So that was a cool experience. And another really cool experience was after the show, I was talking with Seth Green, the actor, was there. And then I go over and he, you know, we're talking about like taking pictures with people or whatever. And I did take a picture with him. I've always been a big fan of his stuff. And then I go over, and he asked me, he's like, hey, can you take a picture of me with Bret Hart? And so he takes a picture. So I took a picture of him with Bret. And then I was like, Bret, do you mind if could I get a picture with you as well? I was like, absolutely. And Bret, you know, Bret's awesome, but also my favorite of all time. But what's so cool is I have this picture of me and Bret Hart, that even was in a article recently that somebody did like an interview on me and used that picture as one of the things. But the coolest part of it, what I wish I had a picture of, was that Seth Green took the picture of me and Bret Hart. And I wish there was a picture of Seth Green holding my phone, taking a picture of me and Bret Hart, because that would be so much cooler than the actual picture. So, but no, working backstage there, you know, being able to do all of the, I did any lower thirds you saw, any graphics like that I created, which was a really cool feeling to be able to do. The entrance video for Ric Flair and for Jeff Jarrett. I did a bunch of other entrance videos as well that were just kind of, you know, they were in there. I did one for like Bully Ray. I did like, there were a couple of different ones, but those were the real, you know, standouts. And, you know, watching Ric come to the ring, I have a picture from earlier in the day of me on the stage when they were testing his video and I'm like standing in front of it, which is cool. But I went out into the arena to watch Rick's entrance and Jeff's entrance. And I have a video on my phone. Like, I know that seems ridiculous because this thing actually aired, but I had this video on my phone of just going like, I made this on my computer. Like, you know, this is so,
there's something about that when you sit and I've never done something on that large scale, but even when we do stuff at commencement where you sit there and, you know, you edited it in your room and then all of a sudden, you know, it's up on this giant and there's people and they're clapping and late breaking news, due to inclement weather, MCCC's physical location will be inaccessible on Thursday. Students will schedule in-person finals, will receive an exam directions from their instructor. This just came popping up on my screen here. So,
well, I guess we can just keep going then.
Breaking news.
There's nothing else happening.
We're on all night, baby.
Nothing else
finals
happened.
Will online.
What kind of weather is it? Going to snow?
It's supposed to, I guess, be real icy in the morning. Oh, but for people who don't know, there's a computer here in the studio that has all the playback information, and now the screen just has this whole alert. So hey, look at that. That's breaking news for all the students that are listening that are really sweating their finals.
And whoever put that in, whoever put that breaking news in there, they are now experiencing what you were just talking about.
Let's take a picture
that
of it
just
right
went
now.
Out onto a screen that is now being read, this message seen by everybody. Well,
yeah, I mean, live on damage.
Exactly. You never know. And I mean, that is the funny thing. Even like just the other day, I made a video that, you know, I mean, obviously nothing on the scale of what you're talking about, but it was up on the big screen here in Park House, and it was up on the big screen here in the
That's
ATC.
Awesome.
And you just look around and you see people watching. Like, I made this in my office, like in this tiny little dark, you know. There's something still exciting about that.
It Not is. Just any park house, but my park house.
My park house.
And, woo! You know, and that's true. I mean, that's really just, I always enjoyed that stuff. I felt that same way, you know, a couple of weeks later, we did the wrestling showcase in Chicago, which will also be exclusively on Premiere now. But the wrestling showcase, you know, I made all the entrance videos for that, and just seeing that and seeing it in reality. Of course, there was a little bit less having just a month earlier seen on a big screen. But I will tell you one other thing. My interview with Jerry Jarrett and Jeff Jarrett and Jerry Lawler, which, you know, was awesome. When Conrad Thompson contacted me and asked me if I would do that, I didn't even realize at the time I'd be holding a Jim Crockett Promotions microphone. Like, that's just... You talk about bucket list things that you didn't know would ever exist. It was so far out of the realm of possibility that it was never even in my mind of, man, I'd love to hold a Jim Crockett Promotions mic one day and interview Jerry Lawler and, yeah. And like what? Like, in what scenario would that happen?
Great so moments really in your cool. life that you didn't know you were going to get and yeah. you didn't really know existed.
Yeah, and it was incredible. And but I will tell you one thing. If you're ever, you know, because that was a pre-tape. So that aired in the arena. I went out and watched it in the arena. And I will say, if you're ever looking at yourself and you go, I feel like I've put on a couple of pounds, you know. Or,
well, I think of that every 2 minutes.
Well, no, but you look at you look at yourself and everybody, but everybody has that. You know, you look at yourself, you go, am I? And then you turn, you angle yourself, you go, nah, I guess I'm all right. I'm okay. I would say is if you ever really want to know you've gained some weight, go watch yourself in a Jumbotron in a stadium or in an arena. Because my giant face showed up on that screen and I'm like, that is not how I want to present yeah. myself. And, you know, I'm down like 11 pounds since then. Like it was just, I look at that. I was yeah. like, okay. Yeah. All right, Josh.
Whoever did that. Thank you.
All right, Josh. Yeah. You've been,
the Jumbo in Jumbotron.
That yeah. Was it was really an experience. But no, Ric Flair's last match was an incredible experience. Being able to be a part of that, being able to know, looking back on it and seeing it and knowing, you know, having my name there a couple of times in the credits at the end, because they did the old school credits, you know, and being a part of the show, being the commentator or being the only backstage interviewer on that show. And then just knowing, you know, creating those, that's Ric Flair's last match. Those are the images that you're going to see forever. And to know that so much of that was that massive screen behind him was these videos that I put together. And you know, Jeff Jarrett, he sent me a text on Halloween and he goes, he's like, hey, he's like, I know you have a life. I know you have kids and all that. He's like, but is there any way you can send me over my entrance video and like the prelude that comes before? He's like, I need it for something. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. No problem. I'll get it to you tonight. So then like a week later, he debuts on AEW, but he just comes out. He doesn't have a video. So now I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, is he going to use my video on AEW?
Wow.
He didn't. The next week, AEW, they've got plenty of talented people there to create their videos. And so he has a different video there. But I was for a second, I'm like, so I still don't know what he needed it for. I have no idea what he needed it for. But
he was sitting watching for a video in his Christmas house cards. Just to get psyched up, you know?
Yeah.
But, what am I going to do without the video?
Yeah, but... No, but it was an incredible experience. I know we're kind of almost out of time here, but if there's any other question about Ric Flair's last match on air, or we can talk after. But, you know,
that's really fantastic. I mean, really, it's funny. This hour really did fly by. You know, we had a great time last week with Matt Dorsey, and he played a bunch of songs. And that interview seemed to go by fast because he was playing music. You got the gift of telling stories because I'm fascinated. I feel like we just blew through an hour.
I hope you enjoy. I hope people listening enjoy it. I always feel like I'm so freaking long-winded.
No, you're great at telling stories, and I'm super excited for everything that you have coming on.
Thanks.
I think 2023 is going to be big for you. Yep. I just posted that Facebook link, and I said, all wrestling fans, especially, you need to like this page. Big things are coming.
Oh, so it's awesome. Just, you know, thanks, man. I appreciate that.
That's fun.
That.
It's just fun, you know, to see that kind of grow out of the ground and have you telling us about it. Not quite going over the edge of the exclusive stuff, but it's nice.
But as a fan in the beginning, circling back, Premier Streaming Network, fans that are like, there's a lot of streaming networks out there. Why invest in yours? Why come?
Aside from the libraries that we're going to have, the collections we're going to have, it is going to be the most user-friendly, including the current WWE network on Peacock.
What?
The WWE network in other countries is still pretty amazing, but the Peacock platform is not great, in my opinion. So as it relates to that, we'll say, but it's going to be, there is not going to be a better place to digest your wrestling than this platform. And then we just, the plans we have for it, the ideas that we have to grow this platform, you're going to want to be a part of it, and you're going to want to come to it and download the app wherever it is that you watch your stuff when it's available. It's going to launch in very early 2023 and like super early. Not New Year's Day, but super early. And, you know, but I just think people are going to be able to discover things like that CZW library, like going through and saying, hey, I wonder, you know, MJF was there before and I'd love to watch some of his stuff. You don't have to search. I mean, you literally just type in MJF, and I guess technically you're clicking search, but you just type in MJF And it's there every show, and not just CZW, but you can type in MJF and you will get everything. You will get when he appeared at, you know, any promotion that we have their footage that he was in will be there. So you'll be able to see his stuff. Moxley has tons of stuff. Adam Cole, you know,
the fact
so
that
much.
You can type in RC and find that's something. Awesome. Hey, look, that's a selling point right there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you being with us since like 2017. Not, I'm not just saying that because you were with us, but as your friend, man, I'm so proud of you, dude.
Thanks, man.
Sky's the limit, man. I'm the guy we can be here to help follow your story.
No, I appreciate everything. I don't think you guys played an important role in this, and I don't think that I'd be where I am now without the help and support that you guys have given. And you know, it's why, aside from just our friendship, it's why I love to come back here anytime I can. I will always be indebted to you guys for the opportunities you gave me from here. And so, yeah, so thank you guys very much.
Yeah, when you get those new breaking news, man, come right back here, man. You're always, yeah. Always out of home here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, we'll do, definitely.
So, Damaged fans, thank you so much for listening. And remember, don't keep it nice and neat. Keep it completely damaged on MonkaRadio.com, where music reminds me. Thanks, Josh.
Completely damaged! Completely damaged!